to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Summer begins tomorrow. Are you ready to heat up your dating life? How do you do that if you've been off the market for a while because of perhaps divorce or end of a long-term relationship? Well, we're here to help you get back in the back into the dating game. My guests are Stacey J. Johnson, relationship fixer and author of Date Girl, 143 Reasons Why I Believe Women Should Date Multiple Men. Whew. Brandon Craddock, a single father in D.C. with a man's perspective on dating, and Misha Green, a millennial single woman in D.C., no children. She is going to talk about her dating experiences. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Stacey. Stacey. Hey, what's going on? You're still single.
Absolutely.
You're still everything single in the city?
Well, you know what? I had a man, but you know, we had to let him go November 27th at 9 p.m. No, I'm kidding. But it was November 27th.
Oh, my. Okay. So you're back on the market. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, here's my question. Does it matter summer or winter when you're back on the market and single? Is there a difference?
Well, for me, absolutely it doesn't make a difference. It's really how show up spiritually. What do you show up honestly telling yourself that you deserve? And that deserving happens summer, spring, winter, fall, or whatever. You know, so it really doesn't matter if it's summer or not. What have you told yourself, and what work have you done on yourself to make sure that you're showing up your best self when you're on these dates? Or honestly, hell, I have to say, when you're walking around anywhere, the grocery store, your home, wherever, are you being the best self that you can be? And that needs to happen year-round.
Why does that matter? Why does it matter whether you're being your best self when you're talking about dating?
Well, it's important because, honestly, the only way you're going to be happy in a forever situation, meaning two individuals come together as individual, whole individuals, and then they have to come together and see if this third person involved, which is the relationship, can work. You can't come into that a half a person or not being the best of yourself. You can't come into that, you know, allowing your triggers, you know, somebody step on your toe and you got to go off on them. You see what I'm saying? You can't do that and expect to be in a relationship that brings you any happiness. And honestly, hi, my name is Stacey. I had some baggage I had to work through. My mother was married 5 times. My grandmother was married 3. And as I looked at the relationships in my family with women, they were too married and divorced or just never married at all. Hmm. So my passion in this thing is not just my being married or my having a life partner. My passion is honestly breaking a generational curse that, I mean, with evidence, runs rapid through my family. And what I can look at and look at each individual person in that they didn't show up their best self. They
I
went
see.
From man to man showing up as probably a little worse than they were before the previous man.
Well, let me see what Misha has to say about that. Misha, you've never been married.
I've never been married.
How old are you? You're a millennial.
I am 26. I'll be 27 in August. Shout out to all the Virgos listening.
Okay. So is it rough out there?
You know, it's rough because at least what I found is that men my age are a little older, which even if they're a little older, they really are younger than me mentally. is that
oh,
they're
the shade.
All the shade's there. It's okay. I'm a walking palm tree. at least when it comes to this subject. But, you know, I found that they aren't ready to commit. And so I totally agree with the fact that you just have to be true to who you are and unapologetically. You know, I think honesty is completely key, and it's not necessarily divulging everything on the first date, but this, hi, I'm Misha. I come with these expectations, requirements, and I really, really want you to know that I'm not going to let you hurt me. And those are my first bullet points.
Interesting. What do you think about that, Brandon?
Well, I don't think it's as difficult for men right now. It's harvest season almost.
harvest season?
You know, it's in particular, if you're a professional, you have a good job, you're, you know, reasonably good looking, even if you're not, as long as you carry yourself with a lot of confidence, people are going to be receptive to that. And it's just a matter of you making the move, you approaching whomever it is that you're interested in. But the opportunities are there. It's just a matter of taking, I don't want to say take advantage of it, but actually going through with it. But I do find it is different in the summer versus the winter. People are out in the summer. Mm-hmm. They want to do things during the summer. They want to be out and enjoying the weather. During the wintertime, people are more likely to stay in. And so the person that you may be dating, or if you're trying to date, it's hard to do multiple things. And if you want to date multiple people, you know, you got to sit in with somebody and you can't get out there as much.
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about heating up your dating life as summer approaches. My guests are Stacey J. Johnson, relationship fixer and author of Date Girl, Brandon Craddock, a single father in D.C. with a man's perspective on dating, and Misha Green, a millennial single woman in D.C., no children, talking about her experiences. And I've seen Stacey on Instagram, and I can tell you, as it relates to Misha, both of them melanin popping right now. So I guess the summer has something to do with that.
Indeed.
Yeah. With that said, let's talk about some of those do's and don'ts. And I'll start with you, Brandon. What are the biggest complaints from single people?
The biggest complaints that I've heard is in terms of not wanting to talk on the phone from a man. Women don't seem to like texting. As far as being courteous, it seems like it's a lost art in terms of opening the doors, walking on the right side. When I say the right side, having a woman on the inside when you're walking down the street. For me, even though it's costly, paying is just, unless a woman just insists on paying, that's just something I do standard. But it didn't seem to be something that all men are looking for. Or if they do pay, it's going to be someplace inexpensive.
Interesting. What do you think about that Stacey, and what Brandon just shared with us?
Well, I mean, he has some good points. I have heard that men, you know, with the walking on the inside, most men they're not honoring the walking on the outside of the street, and you know, just let me say this: I don't want to man bash. Because
of course not. I'll do that because I have some issues with the brothers too. But go right ahead.
I don't want to man bash. So funny how. But what I can say is you're exactly right. I have heard from the single women that I coach, and even women just traveling the country, that, yeah, men are not versed at being the best they know how to when just in a dating situation, whether, you know, the texting too much and the calling. But let me say this. I have to say this, Harold.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, as women, say what we want. And there is a way that you can preface what you want from a man and not expect him to show up the man that you have designed in your mind or the man that you think he should be. For an example, if a man is walking on the inside of the street and does not put, you know, and has you on the outside, you see what I'm saying? Move to the inside and say, hey, I would rather, you know, walk on the inside of the street and say it. And I always say with the vision of a flower in mind, because we're not here to be anybody's mom. We're just here to tell him what we want. I feel better walking on the not. I need you to walk. You know how sometimes I need you to walk on the outside. Haven't you ever heard that you're supposed to walk on the outside and you got me walking? No, it's literally how do you address? How do you communicate? So you say, you know what? I feel better with walking on the inside.
Okay.
And you move to the inside. If he's calling you, texting you instead of calling, I feel better when we talk and communicate over the phone. You see what I'm saying? Oh, no, not with we. I feel better with talking and communicating over the phone. You see, in each instance, you're leaving him out of the equation, so you're not trying to be his mother. You're basically telling him what makes you happy. Now, if that man does not conform to those things, then you have the choice at the beginning of the situation to leave.
I see.
You know why? Because you don't need to be his mama. You told him several times what makes you happy. He does not deliver. Then guess what? There are other men, I say I meet them every millisecond, walking outside who can possibly walk on the outside or at least say, you know what, if this makes her happy, I'm going to walk on the outside.
Okay.
If this man doesn't want to conform, then you just move on.
But it seems that disease is running rampant right now with
the disease of what?
Of texting, of lack of manners. But we have
to say what we want, Harold.
Yeah, I guess because maybe the parents have fallen down with these grown children. Anyway, real quick, Misha, your thoughts about it?
Ooh, well, you know, I think first of all, I totally am going to take that note, Stacey, about just saying what I want and not getting the other person involved. Because that makes perfect sense. I really have not had serious issues in terms of articulating what I want. Nonetheless, what I struggle with is, oh, well, I really like him and he's not necessarily doing the things that I've wanted.
Such as what?
I mean, it's little things sometimes that turn into larger things, such as not texting back. I mean, I don't mind just texting, but if it takes you hours to text back when we've had plans, I have an issue with that. Or not necessarily prioritizing what I wanted to do after it was something we talked about and instead hanging out with your friends. It is summer and I get that, but you need to prioritize. If we have a plan and you are breaking that plan, then there at least needs to be some sort of communication. And I find again, maybe just in the people that I've dated, that communication is what is the hardest part. Communication is my life. It's what I do. And so for someone to not honor that is really frustrating for me.
Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about getting into the swing of dating, some do's, some don'ts, some wills, some won'ts. How do you know when you're ready? Let's talk to Ken. Ken calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Ken. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, hopefully all is well, and I wish all of you good luck in advance as you travel down the road to romance. But
thanks, Ken.
For myself, and my own perspective, and I've been married for a number of years, and before I got married, I decided that I would go traveling a little bit. So I went to Trinidad, I went around, because sometimes when you want to practice, you don't want to practice where you live. You want to practice somewhere else because you have a little bit more confidence inside of you. But I think the biggest thing is also that sometimes, men or women, but I'm going to defend men right now, is women will treat it like we're a monolithic group of people where everyone is very unique. Every man has a certain principle about him or certain goodness. Not all, but I'm talking about the good ones. And ironically, there are some sisters that, you know, all of them want a good man, but they only want him to be good to them. They don't want to be good to anybody else. Not, again, just defending men. Not all. There are some real strong sisters out there. But at the same time, when you want a man to conform to something, you only want it because if he's good to his kids, if he had a prior relationship, he's good to his family, he's a good person in the community, you know, don't change him. Don't expect him to conform to something. You lost what you desired, which was a good man.
Hmm. Okay. What about that, Brandon? Do you agree your father, is he right?
He's right to a certain extent, in my opinion. I just think that women tend to settle, you know, to get the ball rolling instead of putting the cards on the table, not necessarily on the first date, but up front. And then once things start happening, they expect the man to either become the person that they want or that they can change him. And when he's already kind of set the table for how he's going to be. And so if you don't set forth your expectations and decide, well, I'm going to deal with this or I'm not, he's going to keep doing the things that he's been doing, whether it be the relationship before or since he's a kid, whatever the case may be. So I believe that women and a lot of times do try to get into a relationship with the expectation that I can make him what I want him to be, instead of, all right, I'm accepting this and that's how it's going to be. Not necessarily I'm accepted and then try to change him.
Interesting. I need to take a break in just a bit, but I want to let our listeners.
That part though. That part.
Yes.
What's that?
That part. I disagree with everything he said. That part.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to hear more from you in just a bit too, Stacey, because I have plenty of questions for you, because I think one of the things that last caller said, you know, she wants him to be good to her. But a lot of sisters complain that he's being good to a lot of other folks. Mm-hmm. But but Stacey, you are saying date a lot. So we'll talk about that in just a bit. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about getting you back into the dating game if you've been off the market for a while because of perhaps the end of a long relationship or a divorce or something like that. We're here to help you get back into the guests are Stacey J. Johnson, relationship fixer and author of Date Girl, 143 Reasons Why I Believe Women Should Date Multiple Men, Brandon Craddock, a single father in D.C. with a man's perspective on dating, and Misha Green. She is a millennial single woman in D.C., no children, who's going to talk about her dating experiences. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Angela, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Angela. What's on your mind?
First of all, I think this is a great topic, Harold, and I have things that I agree with the majority of your guest panelists tonight. I am loving dating at 42. When I was in my 20s and 30s, I was rigid. I have been married, and unfortunately, it didn't work out. That's okay. But I am loving everything about where I'm at now because I know more about who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. And I date to date. People keep saying date like a man or date like this or date like that. Like, I'm dating to have fun. And I think that if you're safe, you communicate, and you're transparent, you're okay. I think sometimes men and women have all these expectations that are unrealistic. But if you date to have fun, and you're clear with people of like where you're at, it resonates. So I don't have a lot of the hang-ups that I hid behind spiritually.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think a lot of women want to portray a certain image or to keep up how we were raised, when realistically you have to define things for you and where you're at spiritually. So I was in everything in church and doing everything, quote unquote, by the book, but I wasn't doing anything but suppressing things. And I think when you're at a place with peace and you know where you are with your relationship, with who you believe in and what you believe, then you don't have these spiritual fights. Because there's nothing wrong with having intimacy if you're not married. That's my perspective of where I'm at now. That does not always mean constitute having sex. I'm very open with my partner. If I want to sleep with someone, I do. If not, I don't. But learning to have intimacy, of learning to listen to the person that I'm dating, talking, and just learning how to be friends.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to matriculate into something romantic.
Okay. Well, listen, Angela, you sound like you're on the ball with life, and we certainly wish you the best as you move through this whole dating process. Thank you so much for calling. And to that point, Miss Stacey, we had a caller who was talking about being good to a woman, and I made the comment about some women are upset because some guys are being good to a lot of women. But you say date as much as you can, multiple men. How do you do that without someone showing up at your house unannounced, uninvited, with drama? How do you do that?
Well, let me say this, Harold, and you know I keep it all the way 100.
Let's please do that.
So you can't use that. You go, even if you date one guy, he could be foolish like that. Okay, let's not put that on dating multiple guys.
Well, well.
Okay, a fool would show up at your house without knowing he has an invitation. That fool can be the exclusive fool, all right? But so let's not give that to dating multiple men. All right, but what I will say that when I say dating multiple men, a lot of people, a lot of women, even I see them out in airports. Oh, Stacey, we have your book. Oh, my God, I'm dating four guys. And I wish I could stay and talk to this sister because I want to say the premise of the book is wrapped around dating multiple, but I didn't say you had to have a harem all at one time. What I'm talking about, if you would get the book, is basically this. If you meet a guy and you go out four times with that guy and you have made yourself his girlfriend without asking yourself, basically, who is this person? Am I happy with this person? How do I feel when I'm sitting in front of him? Is he dependable, inspiring, complimentary, enhancing to my life? Whatever your four things are that you feel you deserve. If you're sitting in front of him and you're making yourself his without asking yourself questions, and then you go somewhere and you meet someone else who wants to engage you and you go, oh, I'm dating. I'm seeing someone. What I'm saying is don't do that. But it could be a point in your life when you're just dating one person, but you're dating them under the premise of we are not exclusive. We're just having a great time with each other, enjoying each other. And if we move to something exclusive, that's fine. But while we're in this space and I go to Whole Foods or wherever and I meet someone, wherever I am, if I'm pumping my gas, I can at that point say, absolutely, I'll give you my number, so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da. You see what I'm saying? Because it has more to do with asking yourself the questions. Now, women, let me say this. If you are addressing the relationship from that standpoint, meaning getting to know someone, you have to know he's going to be dating other people too. Men have been doing this way before I started writing about it. It's just, when you tell a man, well, we've been dating 4 to 6 months, you know, isn't it time that we become exclusive? And this guy go, hold on, we're having a great time. Let's just take it one day at a time. He's seeing another person. He's seeing several other people probably, and he just wants to enjoy you until if it moves into that space. You should never be a woman who goes to a man and you lose, I call that low-level communication.
Okay.
You just absolutely lost the game when you go to a man and tell him and use time that now you guys need to move to another level.
Okay.
Let
me see what Dominic has to say. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Is this Dominic or Dominique?
Dominique.
Hey, how are you? What's on your mind?
I'm well. I'm calling on behalf of a millennial's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I currently am going through a break. I don't know. I guess those are my millennial problems.
Don't we know it?
Yes. The last caller said, it was a gentleman. He said that, you know, women go into something looking for the man to change. So as a millennial's point of view, we're in our 20s. There's nothing but change coming towards us. So if we're dating someone, you know, how do we not know that we're not growing through something with someone or trying to change them? Because I feel like we're changing every day. We're figuring life out. So what is that medium for a millennial to say, okay, no, that's that person in their ways, or we can grow through this one? And I feel like that's why it was my current breakup. You know, the person could be where they're supposed to be, but they don't want to move. So,
well, hold on. Let me see what Brandon has to say, because I think that's a great question. How do you differentiate between growth and change?
I mean, certain things are just a person's personality or habit. I mean, that's what they do. That's what they've been doing. You know, if you're a mama's boy at 24, more likely you're going to be one at 34 and 44. That's probably not going to change. But if I'm not tidy or if I'm not punctual, that's something that can change. That's something that you can work on together. you know, respecting my space or her space. That's something that you can work on. But like I said, there's just certain things that are innate that, you know, that are just part of a person. And that's something that's not going to change more than likely. But as a millennial, I don't know how old she is, but
yeah, I wanted to add a little too, but continue, Brandon. Go ahead.
But that's part of growing up. You know, you find out that you can't or that you can. These are things that, as she said, just part of maturing and maturing in dating. These are things that you find out the more you date, the more you interact with people in general.
Yeah, you know, Dominique, I totally understand where you are, and I so hate this thing in our current generation of, are we on a break? Is it a breakup? What's happening? I'm still talking to you all the time. I totally get it. But I think one thing that I've found is that there is a difference from understanding that there are certain things that can change because you are growing together and the inevitable things that won't. And in that place, it goes back to what Brandon was talking about a few minutes ago, where he said, you know, if you've said time and time again that you want something to change and yet you're staying around to be in the relationship, then it's not going to change anyway. And so what I've found, unfortunately, is that you have to take that step and just end things all the way. Cold turkey is a thing. That's why people get off of drugs. Love is a drug. I really think that sometimes it just takes letting go completely. It can be a wake-up call, and maybe that could be the step if it's meant to be for your partner to change. And if not, there are, as many people say, tons of fish in the sea for you, Dominique.
Dominique, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's start with some basics. And be quick if you can, Stacy, and because I also want to hear what Misha has to say about this. Mm-hmm. How should a man approach a woman when the circumstances are outside of those settings like a club or something? Let's talk about whether it's on the street, the grocery store, any place other than where you might expect to find the object of your desire. My mom says men are where you find them, when she's talking to young women. And that doesn't always mean in a club. So how do you approach them? How should men approach women? What do you think?
I think the best way to approach a woman is just by saying, hi, how are you? My name is so-and-so. Like, it's the simplest of approaches. That approach can be used anywhere. It doesn't have to be a big thing. You know, it's just, hi, how are you? My name is so-and-so. And she will probably go, hi, how are you? I'm fine. My name is Stacy. I think we put so much on, how would you approach anyone? We put so much on the whole dating thing. How would you approach anyone that you wanted to talk to, is what I would tell the guy, just in simplest, most honest form.
Not like the way we used to do when I was growing up, when you'd see a young lady, you'd say, shawty, you can't do that, right? Or nothing.
No, I'm just
I know. just a thought, since we have some D.C. folks here, so I guess you can't say that. What do you think, Misha?
Well, no, first of all, shawty is still a thing,
but it still happens, doesn't it?
Don't say it.
I see, there it is. It still happens. It's ridiculous.
Yes, but I totally, totally agree with Stacy. It is just about saying hello in the most respectful and simplest form. You know, what's your name? Immediately never works for me because I don't know why I'm giving you my name if I don't know yours. You know, how you doing? You don't really want to know how I'm doing. So it's the simple hello, my name is so-and-so. That is really most attractive to me because it shows that you're interested in a conversation with me. But I mean, I think the other thing is just being confident. You know, confidence is so attractive no matter who you are. And so not having that fear, you know, in fact, even a level of excitement because you want it to talk to me is really attractive. And so that is what I suggest for men.
Should you be receptive, Brandon, if a woman approaches you, and how should a woman approach you?
Most definitely. I'm fully receptive to any woman that's, however they speak to me. That doesn't mean it's going to go any further, but if anybody was willing or took the chance to have a conversation with me, I'm going to honor that. I don't know what God's plan is for our conversation or interaction. It may not necessarily be dating. It may be, you know, somehow or another, we pass some information. I get that down the line, pass it on to somebody else. Anyway, but as far as approaching, just come direct. You know, always pleasant to smile at first. I mean, you can't go over. It's hard to turn somebody down when they're smiling. It kind of what everybody just said in terms of, hi, how you doing? My name is, and go from there. If a woman was approaching me. Now, obviously, you know, as you mentioned, you know, in the club and you've been drinking, that's not necessarily, you know, the most opportune time. You're not necessarily presenting your best self at that point. But again, at any moment that somebody's willing to or finds interest in talking to me, I'm taking it.
Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about men and rejection. And we'll ask Stacey, where does this phrase, I'm an independent woman, where does that come in during that conversation when you're meeting? We're talking about it, getting you ready for that summer dating process. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about dating, getting ready to get back into the swing of things since the summer months are starting. Officially, summer starts tomorrow. Let's talk a little bit about rejection. We've seen some difficult and unfortunate reactions from some men who have been rejected, their advances, some subtle and some not so subtle. Talk to me a little bit about that, Brandon. What's going on with men and rejection? When I was growing up, that was a part of life. Have men forgotten?
I think it's definitely a change of times or change of the times. For whatever reason, men are more afraid of rejection than they ever were. The fear of failure is bigger than it ever was. I remember when I was growing up, getting somebody's number was that was an accomplishment, and you feel great when you can get that number. Now, I don't even really have to know you when I can still contact you, and I don't have to worry about not being able to get your number. I don't have to worry about being rejected. I don't have to worry about getting shut down. I can find you on social media and just instantly message you, and you can either not respond, but I've lost no skin, not me personally, but in general.
Yeah, I think that the technical term for that is sliding into the DM. Is that what? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But, yes. I love you, Harold.
But because it's more comfortable these days in terms of how I can access that fear, I don't even have to deal with that right now, and I'm not going to deal with that of a rejection. And that, again, we talked about earlier in terms of the texting and so forth. I think that plays a part in that.
Mm. Stacey, I mentioned before the break the independent woman phrase. I have my own thoughts about that, and I'm not reticent to share, but I will ask you as the expert your thoughts about women discussing or mentioning their independence and all of those wonderful things.
Yeah, Harold, I can say that I have a whole video on my part of my product on my website, and it basically says this: bossing down is sexy. Boss down, ladies.
What does that mean?
Bossing down, meaning you hear in social media, everybody wants to be a boss. Women are proud. Absolutely, boss up in your business, your career, with your kids. A man is not going to fall in love with the boss in you. His brain will be attracted to that, that thinking, that diva, that all of that stuff. But a man has to feel safe enough with you to where he is emotionally attracted to you. his brain will fall in love with that boss, but his heart and his emotional self, and that's where love starts for a man. He won't do that. So all of this independence, yes, you can proclaim it, and he'll be excited about it. He'll love to tell his friends about your success and his family and all of his work colleagues, but when it comes to loving him, your independence is not what is going to keep him. That's why they leave after 3 or 4 months, or 6 months, or 8 months, or 3 years, or 30 years, because then they wake up and go, why am I not in love with this woman from my heart stream? Why am I not emotionally in love with her? Not because of the kids, but why? And the reason why is because you spent 30 years, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 years connecting with his brain. Independent women, I love y'all. I love y'all. I take care of myself. But let me tell you something. I know from the years of studying love and how to make healthy relationships work, mm-hmm. a man does not fall in love with you from that place, that independence. It just is not going to happen. That is a brain connection. That is a mental connection. He's not going to trust you with his heart and the depth of his soul.
Okay.
Sorry.
What do you think about that, Misha?
Yeah, you know, I definitely agree in terms of the fact that the independence is not what is the biggest championship win for these guys. The independence is definitely can be sexy, right? And I'm confident in the fact that I'm independent, right? And so part of that could be the turn on for a man. But I do think that there needs to be, you know, I remember my older brother told me years ago that a man never wants to feel like less than a man. And I don't think that that means to debase yourself at all as a woman or lower yourself. But I do think it means just because you're independent, then champion your man at the same time. Show him, celebrate those things that he's doing and the things that he does to help you. I mean, if you're in a relationship and you're talking about how great you are and how independent you are, then you don't really need to be in a relationship. And so, you know, while I love the fact that I pay my bills and the fact that I can go out when I want to and the only people I have to worry about or the only things I have to worry about are my two dogs right now, is the fact that, you know, I know if I were to get in a relationship, I want to have my independence, but I also really crave having another person to share these things with. And if all I'm doing is boasting about the fact that I'm independent, I don't think that'll keep a relationship.
I would say that that's probably the closest to what I would say. I took my daughter to dinner a couple of weeks ago and I held out a chair and she said, half jokingly, I'm an independent woman and I don't need you to pull my chair out. And I said, first of all, you're not independent because you're 19. And I said, secondly, I'll never let your independence encroach upon your femininity.
Mm-hmm.
But even more to the point, as Misha was just saying, and you can tell me if I'm right here, Brandon, most guys don't tell me that you're independent. Most men, we call that being an adult. And so you don't have to tell me that you're paying your own bills and you can go out and you bought your own house, and because yeah, we did it and we never mention it because it's called being a man / it's called being an adult. Men do have eyes and they will see that you have a house or that you have a nice car, or that your kids are well taken care of, that you are well fed and that you are intelligent. So you don't have to, I would say, don't tell us, let us see it. And that way you say it without saying it. And how am I doing?
That's it.
There's that smile that you were talking about, Brandon. There you go. Go ahead, Brandon. You were going to say.
Yeah. No, I think you're right on the point. And in terms of, you don't need to boast it. I mean, if you are, it'll be evident. And I think it primarily comes into an issue with men when they feel like, you don't need me. You know, you doing all this. Well, what do you need me for? Or it's almost like they're wearing the pants. And when men start feeling like that, it's all downhill from there. It's hard to bounce back.
Stacey, what do you say to someone who's been out of the dating game for a while, a year or two, or many years, what should they expect, watch out for, be careful of?
I think the first thing, Harold, that's a great question, first of all, but I think that the first thing they have to do is return to the things that they enjoy without anyone else. Meaning, if you've been in a relationship or married, especially women who have been married in these extensive amount of years and then divorced, I would say you have to get back into what you enjoy. And a lot of times as adult women who are majority masculine energy in their lives because they're fixing things, figuring out things, planning and executing, we forget the things that we enjoyed when we were younger. Like, for instance, with me, honestly, I love board games. So for me, I join a board game group. And the wonderful thing about life in this internet is that there are so many ways that you can implement searching. You know, you can search online, or you can from your computer or your phone, and just all of these wonderful groups out there. If you love to paint, if all of these things you know you love as a kid or younger, or the things that you've always wanted to do, I would say first return to those, because what we'll find is, again, we put so much energy in dating. That's why so many people are tired. I always tell my coaching clients, let's get back to what you enjoy doing, and from with groups of people or people, other people in the room, not things that you enjoy doing at your house. What things will put you in front of people? And I call that growing your village as a single woman. It can't just be if you went to college, the stuff that you do with your college, like there, Howard is there. So it can't just be the things that your girlfriends and you do because y'all did them when you were at Howard. Extending your reach, extending your village out into the community and doing things that you enjoy doing. What will happen then? Dating won't become this thing that you have to posture and peacock at a bar, lounge, club, or whatever. It will just start to embrace your life, because now you're putting yourself in groups of people, in front of people, who doing things that you authentically like doing.
Okay.
You'll meet people, and then other people will start to grow from there. You see what I'm saying? So I would just say to those women, just start doing stuff you like and really looking at those things and getting back in to yourself, and also reaching that feminine energy, and that's getting into bathing and coloring and things like that.
I only have a few minutes left, and I want some final thoughts. I'll start with Brandon. Your final thoughts on this 2018 summer and dating.
I mean, it was something that some older brothers always tried to instill in me, and I didn't trust it as a younger person, but honesty goes a long way. You know, you may not get everyone, but if you up front with what, where you are and what you expect, and give that other person an opportunity to either accept it or say, no, nah, that's not for me, it will help the relationship go a long way, or go further than it would otherwise. Okay. And they find out later.
Misha, real quick, your final thoughts.
Well, my motto, summer 2018, goes to Aubrey Graham, a.k.a. Drake, who said, nice for what, ladies, in summer 2018? Have a good time and be confident in who you are. You don't have to acquiesce and change who you are and try to be nice for these guys who aren't doing what they need to be doing. You need to be straight up when what you want in a relationship or in dating, and have a good time. And if that's not what it is, don't try to be nice and sacrifice yourself. Do you get out and meet somebody else?
Well, there you go. Ending on a positive note.
That was positive.
It was positively.
It was positively fun.
Yeah, there it is. And that's what Stacey said. Have fun. Stacey J. Johnson, Brandon Craddock, and Misha Green, thank you so much for talking to us. Stacey, we need to get you back in here when you come to town, so please,
yes,
give us a call, and I promise I won't call you shorty. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, June 20th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.